going to speak about an aspect of Pesach that usually is not addressed that much. And that is why we were avodim in Mitzrayim altogether. What was the purpose of Shibud Mitzrayim? We speak a lot about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, speak a lot about the other side of the coin, but Seder has both parts to it. Maschilin b'gnus and Mesayimin b'sheva. So we usually don't spend too much time understanding the gnus. It's extremely important to understand that, because if you don't understand the purpose of Shibud Mitzrayim, then really there's nothing to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim. Give me an example, which I didn't plan to do, but make it more clear how important it is to understand this. Imagine somebody walking down the street, minding his own business, and somebody comes with an iron pole and breaks both his legs. And the guy feels this is it. The guy with the iron pole is coming over him, and he's going to finish him off. The guy comes over him and he says, "Listen, I mean you no harm. I'm just an orthopedic surgeon who needs practice. So I broke your legs and I'm going to heal you. I'm going to take you to my clinic and I'm going to heal you, and I'm not going to charge you a penny, and in 6 months you're going to be walking like nothing ever happened." And Taka cures him, and in 6 months he's walking like nothing ever happened. How much of a thank you does he owe that orthopedic surgeon? Obviously he owes him a lawsuit, right? Why? Because he would have been walking 6 months earlier as if nothing ever happened, if nothing ever happened. Don't break my legs and don't heal me. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every single thing that happens in this world. Nothing happens if not Hashgachas Hashem. So who got us into Mitzrayim? The Rabbanu Shalom. Who took us out of Mitzrayim? The Rabbanu Shalom. What do I owe many thanks? He should have prevented us from going there to begin with. Why did he let us get into that? He broke our legs and he took us out. Why do I owe many thanks? So I didn't come here to convince you not to celebrate Pesach this year. There must be an answer. The answer is my marshal's not a good marshal. The real marshal is, imagine a disease of the legs that has the following pathology. I made it up, but I can make up any disease I want. That's part of the agreement I made when I came here. I can make up any marshal I want. So the disease has the following pathology. It incubates for 10 years. You don't even know you have it. And from the time that you get it, 10 years later to the second, the bones of the leg disintegrate, and that's it. The person's a cripple for the rest of his life. There's no cure. There's only one cure to this disease. If you catch it while it's incubating, during those 10 years, and you break the person's legs and reset them, they'll grow back normal. Now let's go back to the orthopedic surgeon walking behind this guy who doesn't know that he has this disease. But the orthopedic surgeon is an expert in this disease, and you can see from the way the guy's walking that not only does he have the disease, but there's 5 minutes left till the 10 years are up. What does he have to do? Immediately find an iron pole and break the guy's legs. He has no time to discuss this with us. There's only one way to save this guy. Break his legs. And that's what he does. He breaks his legs, and the guy is writhing with pain on the sidewalk, and he goes over to him and he says, "You're a very lucky man." He says, "Could you explain to me why I'm a very lucky man with both of my legs broken in tremendous pain?" He said, "Yeah. Because in 5 minutes, had I not broken your legs, you'd be a cripple for life. Now that I've broken your legs, I'm going to take you to my clinic. I'm going to reset the legs. And in 6 months, you're going to be walking like nothing ever happened." Now does he owe him a thank you? For what? For healing him or for breaking his legs too? For both. Because had he not broken his legs, things would be much worse. Sometimes we make ourselves sick, spiritually. And the Rabbanu Shalom knows the only way to cure us is to break our legs. And then we have to thank him not only for the cure, but for the breaking the legs too. And that's why Maschilin Bignus and Mesayimin B'Sheva. Because if you don't know how to give thank you for the Gnus, for Shibud Mitzrayim, then there's no purpose to give thank you for Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore both have to be incorporated. So I want to speak about what the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, why we had to go into Mitzrayim. What was the purpose of the Avdus and Geirus and Inui of Mitzrayim? So the Gemara asks this question in the Dorim. The Gemara says, what did Avram Avinu do that necessitated that his children be Avodim in Mitzrayim for 210 years? And the Gemara gives three different opinions, and I'm going to tell you that they're not in Machlokas, but each one adds another aspect to this inyan. The first daya is that Avram Avinu was Mahar Achar Midas Hashem. He questioned the Rabbanu Shalom when he said, "Bamo Eida Ki Yiroshem." The Rabbanu Shalom promised Avram Avinu he had children, and he promised that the children would inherit Eretz Yisrael. And Avram Avinu questioned it. "Bamo Eida? How do I know?" Seemingly. So, because he questioned the Rabbanu Shalom, right? Therefore, what's it called? His children had to be avodin for 210 years in Mitzrayim. Second opinion. She'osa ingariya b'talmidei chachamim. Avram Avinu had to go out and save Lot. So who did he take with him? His kolo. He had 318 people learning in his kolo, and he took them out as an army to go save Lot. And because he took people sitting and learning Torah and put them into the military, also in Gariya b'talmidei chachamim, that's why Avram Avinu has children had to be 210 years in Mitzrayim. Third opinion, Shelo hichnis anshei Sdom tachas kanfei Ashrid. Avram Avinu comes back from saving Lot and repatriating all of the Sdomites. And Melech Sodom says, "Just give me my people back and you can keep all the money, all the booty." And Avram Avinu says, "Mi chut v'yad srochnal, nothing, I'm not keeping anything, take everything back." Says the Gemara, Avram Avinu should have said, "No, you take the money, I'll take the people." He should have brought them back and be makar of them and brought them tachas kanfei Ashrina. Because he was mafker these people back to Melech Sodom, and they remained Sodomim. Therefore, he wasn't machnas them tachas kanfei Ashrina. That's why Avram Avinu's children had to suffer 210 years in Mitzrayim. Now let's analyze each of these things and see that we have a big problem. First of all, let's assume all these things were chatoy. Okay, let's assume that they were. We'll see in 1 second, that's a big assumption. But let's assume they were chatoy. Lo yumsu avos albonim. Avram Avinu should have been in Mitzrayim for 210 years, not his children. Why is his children punished for things that Avram Avinu did wrong? And now let's see, were they taka chatoyim? Avram Avinu said, "Bamo Eida." What does that mean? "I don't believe you, Rabbanu Shalom. You pulled my leg. I don't think the Klai Yisrael are going to get Eretz Yisrael." He didn't say that. The Rabbanu Shalom didn't even understand that he meant that. He asked, "Bamo Eida be'ezah schos? What schos does Klai Yisrael have to get Eretz Yisrael?" And the Rabbanu Shalom understood him because he gave him an answer in the schos of the Karbonos. So what was the chet? He didn't question the Rabbanu Shalom. He didn't say he didn't believe it. He just asked for a clarification. What schos Klal Yisrael would have to get Eretz Yisrael? What was the second chet? Asan gari b'talmidei chacham. Lot's life was in danger. Okay. In addition to that, there was a tremendous chilul Hashem going on. Because Lot and Avram looked like twins. And Nimrod, Amrophel, who was Avram Avinu's arch enemy, nemesis, took Lot, gagged him, put him in a cage, and paraded him around the streets and said he captured Avram Avinu, which is a proof that Avram's God is meaningless. So tremendous chilul Hashem. Everybody thought it was Avram Avinu. They know it was Lot. So Avram Avinu had to go and save Lot and his family's life. It's his nephew. Pikuach Nefesh is not Docha Talmud Torah. Somebody's learning Talmud Torah, he's learning Torah, right, sitting by the seaside, and somebody's screaming, "Help, I'm drowning." What should he say? "Tread water till Benas Dorim," or Benas Manim, or whatever, right, because I'm learning. I'm sorry, but you know, Gedolah Talmud Torah, Yosem Yatzolos Nefashos. I can't save you. That's what he's supposed to do. No, he's supposed to drop the Gemara immediately and go and save the life. The only way Avram Avinu B'derech HaTeva could save Lo is to get together a few people that he had in his house. That was the only people he had. He didn't have anybody else. So what should he have done? Gone alone? Ain't somechem al hanes. Take whoever you have. He's just going now to fight four kings who've defeated five kings. He took 318 people. Something wrong with that? What's wrong? Not only was it pikuach nefesh, it was also to avoid a tremendous chilul Hashem. Where was the chet? That's what he should have done. And the last thing, Avraham Avinu didn't bring the anshei Sdom, tachas kanfei Ashkina. Who are we talking about? We're not talking about some misguided college students, right, that Avraham Avinu was mafker and sent them back to, you know, to who knows where. It's all about the people of Sdom. 2 pages later in the Chumash, these people are wiped off the map because they were the most degenerate people ever existed. So Avraham Avinu is supposed to bring them home, and what? And put all the people in his home that he's already been makarev in danger of coming in contact with these people? Of course he couldn't bring them to tachas kanfei Ashkina. They were hopeless. V'horayim, the Rabbanim destroyed them. So what was expected of Avraham Avinu? To bring them home and expose the people in his home, the people that he was makarev already, to these people of Sodom. So it doesn't seem like any of these things were chatoyim, and even if they were chatoyim, right, it doesn't seem that Avram's children should suffer. It seems more that he should suffer. So what does the Gemara mean? We have to understand that. We have to understand a little bit of what the purpose of Klal Yisrael. What is our nation? What are we supposed to be? So Torah says very clearly who we are and what we are. We are to be a mamleches kohanim, the goy kadosh. A empire of kohanim. A kohen is the Rabbanu Shel Olam's representative to Klal Yisrael. He's the mishoras. And he represents the Rabbanu Shel Olam to Klal. You want to give the Rabbanu Shel Olam something, give it to the Kohen. Pinyan Aben, give it to the Kohen, but you're giving it to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Kohen is the Rabbanu Shel Olam's representative. We are a mamleches Kohanim. We are God's representatives to the world. How do we do that? We don't go handing out his calling card, I represent God in case you need to give me a call. But we do it by doing the second thing, the Goy Kadosh. We live a life of Kedusha. By living a life of Kedusha, so the nations of the world and even other Jews see that the way we eat and the way we drink and the way we sleep and the way we conduct our business and the way we conduct our politics and the way we conduct our social life and even our entertainment is all holy. It represents Kedusha, it represents the Rabbanu Shel Olam. They say these people are such a godly people, there must be a God. That's the purpose of Klal Yisrael. To be Imam Leches Kohanim and a Goy Kadosh. And in that respect, we are Avdei Hashem. We are the Rabbanu Shel Olam's slaves. Slaves means we are totally subjugated to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's what our tachlis is. No other tachlis. That's what we're supposed to be. In order to be like that, we have to be a nation that totally represents the Rabbanu Shel Olam in all of its aspects. What are the aspects that distinguish one nation from another? So in my estimation, there are 3 things that make a nation a nation, that distinguish it as a specific nation amongst nations of the world. Every nation has their specific identity. That which identifies them different than all the other nations. This one has this identity, another one has a different identity. What their tafkid is, what their tachlis is. That's one thing. Zeus. Identity. Second thing is rechush. Every nation has their kinyonim. The things that they have that enable them to fulfill their identity. Some nations have physical wealth. Some nations have certain talents that they have that are inborn genetically into that nation. Some nations have some kinds of wealth, different kinds of wealth. Some have oil, some have gold, whatever. And that is the resources that they have, the rechush. And lastly, if you take your identity and your rechush, your resources and your identity, you put them together, you have your tachlis. What do you achieve? What do you contribute towards the family of nations in the world? And every nation has its tafkid, its tachlis. So it starts with a identity, it continues on with rechush, and it finally ends it up with a tachlis. That is what every nation is. And that's what the Rabbanu Shem told Avraham Avinu. Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetecha u'mibeis avicha. I want you to give up your identity, your resources, and your goals that you've already gotten. And I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. And there I want you to assume an identity that is totally dependent on me, and resources that totally come from me, and a tachlis that totally represents me. Because your nationhood, your nationalism, is totally dependent on me. That's what you are. You are my nation. I give you your identity, I give you your resources, I give you your tachlis. And then you are a mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. So I want you to leave any identity you have already. Lech lecha me'artzecha. A nation identifies with its land. The land itself gives it an identity. Eretz Mitzrayim is the identity of Egypt. Germany is the identity of the German people. They identify with their homeland. So I want you to leave Chutz La'aretz. Leave your identity here. So you can go to Eretz Israel and get a new identity that's totally coming from me. And I want you to leave your rechush. Moladetecha. Persons, where he's born and when he's born is his mazel. His mazel depends on his rechush, what he has. Boni, chayi, mizoni, all come from mazel. Mazel depends on where you're born. So I want you to leave your birthplace. I want you to leave your rechush. And I'll give you other rechush. And I want you to leave your tachlis, beis avicha, your father's home. What your ultimate goal is in life, which is dependent on generations. I want you to leave your father's home. And what I want you to do? I want you to go to Hello Oretz Asher Arecha, and there the Eschol the Goy Gadol. I'll give you an identity. I'll make you a great nation. Va'avarechecha, I'll bless you with resources. Va'agav lo shemecha, I'll make your name great. I'll give you a tremendous tachlis. And then the Heyei Bracha. Everybody will find their bracha through you. You will be my mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. That's what was supposed to be. Avraham Avinu was supposed to divest himself of any identity, resources, and goals he had, go to Eretz Israel and adopt an identity and resources and goals that were kulo, completely dependent and emanating from the Rabbanu Shalom. And had he done that, then he would have started the seeds and the roots of Klal Yisrael, who eventually would have been created into a nation whose entire foundation of identity, resources, and goals was kulo dependent on the Rabbanu Shalom, and they would have gotten the Torah and gone on with a glorious history of fulfilling their purpose with their identity and their resources. But unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Avraham Avinu blemished these three aspects of the foundations of Klal Yisrael. The first blemish was in the identity of Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu asked, what schus does Klal Yisrael have to get Eretz Yisrael? That seemed to imply that Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael are not synonymous, when Chazal says it's not the case. Omad vayimodei d'aretz, the Rabbanu Shem measured every land, and he found no land more suitable to Klal Yisrael than Eretz Yisrael. And he found no people more suitable to Eretz Yisrael than Klal Yisrael. We fit each other like a glove. We are an Am Kodesh with special Hashgacha Pratis, and Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Kodesh, Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha B'Mereishis Hashana, with special Hashgacha Pratis. Exactly the same. We and Eretz Yisrael are the same, so we fit each other. When Avraham Avinu said, what schus did Klal Yisrael have to get Eretz Yisrael, it seemed to imply that we don't fit each other. We're not the same. We need some kind of outside merit to get Eretz Yisrael. So that put into question what is Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael isn't synonymous with Eretz Yisrael, we need some kind of outside schus, then what is Klal Yisrael? So the identity of the Jewish people was put into doubt. And when Avraham Avinu said something, it made a roshem on all the olamos. And that doubt hung over us and blemished the foundation, the root of Klal Yisrael's identity. And the Rabban Shom's answer was, they don't need any schus. The schus is schus ha-karbonos. Schus ha-karbonos is the essence of Klal Yisrael. The essence of Klal Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. That's what karbonos are. Karbonos is when you express your essence. They don't need an outside schus to get Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Klal Yisrael. But the question put the identity of Klal Yisrael into question, and it blemished the identity, the foundation of the identity of Klal Yisrael. Next, Avraham Avinu also in Gari of the Talmidei Chachamim. Even though the halacha is what I told you, that if you're sitting and learning and somebody's life is in danger, you stop learning immediately and you save the life, that's the halacha. But that's not because saving lives is greater than learning Torah. Because Chazal say not like that, we learn from the Megillah. Gedola Talmud Torah Yoser Me'atzolos Nefashos. That doesn't mean, again, that you don't save the life. You save the life. But it also, same idea, Pesach night. You're learning. All of a sudden comes a time to eat matzah. You have to stop learning and fill your mouth with matzah, not with Divrei Torah. Right? Many times very difficult to continue learning while you're chewing that matzah. Okay, so you have to mevatel from Divrei Torah for the amount of time it takes you to eat matzah. Mitzvah d'oraisa, she'ief shalakayim al de'acherim, can't make a shliach to eat matzah for you, and you have to do it then. You can't say, well, I'll do it next week, but I'm not learning so much. You have to do it then. The mitzvah overes, she'ief shalakayim al de'acherim, you're chayiv to mevatel Torah and eat matzahs, because matzah is more important than Torah? No. Nobody holds that eating matzah is more important than Talmud Torah. But that's the halacha. You have to do the less important one. The Rebbe wants you to do the less important. Saving lives is not because it's more important than learning Torah. It's not. Learning Torah is saving the whole world, the universe. Im lo brisi yomam v'laylach huko shamayim v'arzo samti. Every time a person learns Torah, he adds energy to the whole world, to the whole universe. Saving one life is one life. Even a million lives, only a million lives. This is the whole universe. Learning Torah is more important. But the same Rebbe Shlom who says learning Torah is more important said he wants you to save lives. Not because it's more important, because that's what you're supposed to do. Had Avraham Avinu been on the right Madrega, perhaps Lot wouldn't have been captured, and he wouldn't have had to mevatel these 318 people from doing the greatest resource that Klal Yisrael has, is Talmidei Chachamim. They're the greatest resource. They're our greatest treasure. And we had to use them for something that was less than their ideal. Save lives. Very important, saving lives. That's not the same thing as sitting and learning Torah. So Enoch and Ami, Avraham Avinu didn't do anything wrong. He did exactly what he should have done. But had he been on a higher Madrega, maybe he wouldn't have had to do that. Maybe Lot wouldn't have been captured to begin with. But by doing that, he put into question, what are the resources of Klal Yisrael? Are they Kulol Hashem or something less? Baharaya here, they could be doing something that is much more connected to the Rabbanu Shalom than something lesser than that, which is saving lives. So he put into question, he blemished the resources of Klal Yisrael. Not a chait, didn't do anything wrong, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. But the Maisik made a blemish in the resources of Klal Yisrael. And lastly, what's the tachlis of Klal Yisrael? To bring the whole world, tachlis kanfei Hashchina. We are the Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. We're supposed to inspire the whole world with Kedusha, with the Rebbeinu Shlom. Bring them Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. Did Avraham Avinu do anything wrong? No. Could he bring these people into his house? No, not allowed to. Is something missing? Yet. Yeah. It looks like our Tafkin is not to bring the whole world Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. The Chesbel was 100% okay. Didn't do anything wrong. Wasn't being punished. But he blemished the foundation and root of the Tafkid of Klal Yisrael. We are supposed to bring the whole world to Hachor of Hashem, and Avraham Avinu didn't do that by the people of Sodom. So Avraham Avinu did three things which were not sins that he got punished for. Punishments come to people, not to their children. But he blemished the foundations and root of Klal Yisrael. The identity, the resources, and the goals. Now when the foundation of a building is blemished, a small crack, You can't just put Elmer's glue or even super glue, right, or even cement in the crack, because it's not going to hold. You know what you have to do? You have to take away that part of the foundation, strip it completely, and then reset that foundation. You don't have to take away the whole foundation, but up to where the crack is, you have to destroy, demolish, take it away, and then relay that foundation. You can't just fix up the crack. And therefore, the Rabbanu Shlom told Avraham Avinu, you made a blemish in the foundation of the Jewish people. That blemish blemished their identity, their resources, and their goals. I'm going to have to strip away their identity to a certain degree. I'm going to have to strip away their resources and strip away their goals. And then we'll build it up again and make it the way it should be. And therefore, the Rabbanu Shlom said, Yodoa Teda. I'm going to take away their identity because they're going to be swallowed up by a host nation, and for a certain degree you lose your identity. You're a ger, the Eretz Lolohem. So I'm going to strip away their identity to a certain degree, as much as that blemish was. And I'm going to have to take away their resources. Va'avadum. Mashakona Evid Kona Rabo. And Evid doesn't own anything. He doesn't even own his own time or his own body. And whatever he has, his resources are not his. So I'm going to strip them of their resources. Ba'avadu. And I'm going to take away their goals, their tachlis. How so? The inuos. The third thing was inui. What is inui? Inui is avodas perech. What is avodas perech? How much work is called perech? Breaking. Right, debilitating labor, and how much work is could be exhilarating. What defines avodas perech? There's a halachic definition, because there's an isser in the Torah, lo sirdino beferech le'inecho. We're not allowed to work in eved ivri b'avodas perech. So there must be a halachic definition of what avodas perech is. What is it? It's work without a tachlis, just to keep a person busy, but there's no purpose. You can have hard work, but if there's a tachlis to the work, it's exhilarating. When there's no tachlis, it's debilitating. And therefore, it says that Paro had them build Ore Miskinos, Al Tikri Miskinos Ele Miskinos. They were pitiful cities. They built them on sand. And when they were finished, they fell in. They had to build them again. They didn't accomplish anything. And that's why Paro, when he saw the people were starting to think about going free, so he wanted to make the work even more difficult for them, to break them even more. So what did he do? I'm not giving you any straw, and you're going to have to go and get your own straw and make the same quota of bricks. Paro, an idiot. Why didn't he tell him, look, I'll give you the straw, and you're going to have to make double the quota of bricks. You'll have to work twice as hard, and he'll get a benefit. Now we have the double quota. Why did he make it? He doesn't get any benefit. They have the same quota, and they're working double hard. The answer is, if they would have a double quota, they'd feel they accomplished something. And that was the opposite of what he wanted. He wanted them to feel they're working twice as hard and accomplishing nothing more. That was the end. That's avodas perech. It's interesting. The word perech in esbash, if you transpose aleph to tof and beis to shin, that's called esbash, perech becomes vav lamed gimel, which means nothing, or Vav Gimel Lamed, which means nothing, but if you add up the letters, it's Lamed Tes. What I think it means, there are other meanings to it. The connection between the Lamed Tes Melachos of Shabbos and Avodas Perech. The greatest Melacha that had a Tachlis was Melachos Shabbos, they built a Mishkan. And Avodas Perech is the antithesis of that. In Esbas, the antithesis, work that has no Tachlis at all. That's Perech. And the opposite of Perech is Lamed Tes Melachos. So the Gerus took away our identity, the Avdus took away our resources, and the Inui took away our Tachlis. And then, after we went through those three stages where our identity, resources, and Tachlis was stripped from us for 210 years, the Rabbanu Shalom in a second built us back and gave us back our identity, our resources, and our goals with Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we'll explain in a second. But before he did that, he did something else. And he wanted us to see how bad it is when you have an identity, resources, and goals, when your entire nationalism is built on kochi votzim yodi, the opposite of what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. So he put the Eser Makos to show us how corrupt and useless and valueless the nation of Mitzrayim was. And each of the three groupings of the Makos showed us how bankrupt the identity of the Egyptians was, how bankrupt their resources were, and how bankrupt their tachlis was. No time to go into great detail, but let me just give you an idea. The first three makas, Dan, Tzvardeya, and Kinim, show the bankruptcy of the Egyptian identity. Egypt identified with two things, their land, like we said, and the Nile. Those were the identity of Egypt. Dan showed the following. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us our identity, basically. He gives us our life. He created us. That is represented by blood. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us our life. Life is Hadamu HaNefesh. He gave us the blood. We had nothing to do with it. We don't have to do anything to add to that blood under normal circumstances. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the same blood that you have when you're a baby. Replenishes itself and produces new red and white blood cells constantly within your body. If things don't go wrong, you don't need transfusions all the time. And that's the Ribbono Shel Olam's contribution to life. But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to be dynamic. He wants us to be dynamic in preserving our life and enhancing it. So he gave us another liquid that we introduced called water. We introduced water into the system. And that enhances our life. As long as a person understands that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who gave us the life, and the enhancement, which is the water, is only to enhance what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, but not to think that we cause our life, then everything's fine. But once you begin to think, Kochi Votzim Yodi, I'm a self-made person, Yaakov Paro said, He is God, and Ayor Ani Osisi. Self-made people. So what are they doing conceptually? They're taking God's blood and turning it into water. So God said, fine, you want to turn my blood into water? I'll show you what happens when I turn your water into blood. See if you could survive. So the Makkah of Dam showed them how bankrupt a identity that's Kochi Votzim Yodi is. And then once that identity takes root, then it is extremely, that's the Nile which they identified with, it becomes very noisy and very harmful, that kind of identity. And finally, you lose your whole right in this world. Man, the whole world was created to serve man. And the whole earth was created to give man a place to stand. But if you're going to have an identity that's the opposite of what you're supposed to be, not only isn't the world created for you, but the earth underneath your feet is going to turn into Canaan, and they're going to live on you. You're going to be the earth, and they're going to be the tachlis. You're going to live for Canaan. You're going to be the earth for the Canaan. They're going to be a parasite that lives on you, instead of you a parasite living on the world. That's first three makas. They show the bankruptcy of the identity of Kochi V'Yotzim Yodah. And the other one's the same thing. The next three, Orov, Dever, Shchin, showed how bankrupt their resources were, their personal resources, their bodies, their cattle, all of those things, their homes, all of that was their resources, and finally their tafkid, their tachlis. A tachlis, you need a future. So Borah and Arba took away their future food supply, the immediate food supply and the long-term one. Choshech took away their ability to function, and Makis Bechoris took away their children. The future generation. They didn't have a tachlis anymore. So these Eser Makos showed first Klal Yisrael, the bankruptcy of a nationhood that is the antithesis of what they're supposed to be. Sometimes you can't appreciate the ore until you see the choshech. So the Ribbono Shel Olam first let Klal Yisrael see the choshech, how dim and dark an identity, resources, and goals are of Mitzrayim, And now you'll be able to understand when I bring you back and build you up with the three Lashonos of Geula and give you back your identity, resources, and goals. Now I know there's four Lashonos of Geula, but it doesn't fit into the drasha. But the truth is, there's only three Lashonos of Geula. Says the Vilna Gaon. There are a lot of words there in that pasuk. Much more than four. V'hotseisi, v'hitzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti, v'heveisi. There's also v'idatem, ki ani Hashem. There's six Lashonos. Now how do we pick four of them to make them the Arba Lashonos El Geula? Says the Vilna Gaon, very simple. Everything till the Go'alti is Lashonos of Geula. Anything after the Go'alti is post-Geula. There's only one problem. There's only three words till the Go'alti. V'hotseisi, v'hitzalti, v'go'alti. If you don't count v'lokachti, which is after Geula, you only have three. Says the Vilna Gaon, notice four. V'hotseisi eschem, v'hitzalti eschem, v'go'alti eschem, b'zroa netuyo, u'v'shvatim gedolim. Go'alti is two. Zroa netuyo, and shvatim gedolim. So the four Lashonos of Geula are really three. V'hotseisi, v'hitzalti, v'go'alti, except v'go'alti has two aspects to it. Of the Go'alti b'zroa netuya, and of the Go'alti b'shvatim gedolim. So now it fits the drasha very nicely. The Hotseisi Eschem, you lost your identity by being swallowed up by a host nation. Hotseisi Eschem, I'll take you out and give you back your identity. You lost your resources by being avodim. The Itzalti Eschem me'avodosam. You'll be able to have your own resources. You won't be an eved anymore. And the Go'alti Eschem, I'll redeem you and give you back a tachkid. And there's two ways that a person cannot fulfill his tachkis. One way is that people from the outside come and try to prevent you from fulfilling your tachkis. That's Bishvakim Gedolim. There's another way, that a person is just lazy and he doesn't have the incentive to fulfill his tachkis. He doesn't feel motivated. So that's Bizroa Netuya. The Rav Hashem is going to also be goel us with his roa netuya to push us to fulfill our tachlis. And that was how Klal Yisrael were formed. And then we're ready now to get the Torah as the nation who would be a mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. But before HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give us the Torah, had to break our legs so he could heal us, that we could walk straight and our bones wouldn't have disintegrated because of the foundation that Avraham Avinu blemished. Not a punishment. It was just a tikkun. It was recreating that foundation on all of these three ways. And if you think about it, the Seder represents exactly this idea. The Arba Kosos correspond to these three ideas, three that are four. The identity of Klal Yisrael, the resources, and the goals, both from inner motivation and from taking away any outer impediments for us fulfilling our goals. The first kos is Keneged V'Hotseisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us back our identity. What is the first kos of the Arba Kosos? Kiddush. What's Kiddush speak about? Asher Bochar Bonu Mikolom V'Romamonu, our identity. So the first kos fits perfectly the identity of Klal Yisrael. What's the second kos? Second kos is right after Magid. Right before the Suda, everything is there, the matzah and the mortar and everything is there, ready for us to use our resources in service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the second cause is at the height of Magid, we understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, and here we have the matzah and mortar and Shulchan Aruch, and we're ready now to use our resources in service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's the third cause? Birchas Hamazon. What's that supposed to correspond to? That the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us back our tachlis and motivated us to do it. How does that fit with Birchas Hamazon? Very simple. If Birchas Hamazon was only a hakoras hatov for the food that we ate, there should be only one bracha. Hazonas hakol. Right? Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam. The food was great. If I had to compose a Birchas Hamazon, right? Somebody asked me, look, we want to thank God for the food we just ate. Could you compose a Birchas? I would say, you know what? I think I would say, Ribbono Shel Olam, the food was great. Really tasted great. There was plenty of it. I really appreciate it. Thank you. See you next meal. That would be the end of Birchas Hamazon. But that's not Birchas Hamazon. It's only one bracha. Then we have to speak about Eretz Yisrael and Torah and Bris and Chukim, and then we have to speak about Malchus Beis David and Binyan Beis Hamikdash. I ate one measly sandwich. We'll have to have a refresher course in Jewish history for it. Thank God for the sandwich. What in the world are we getting involved with? Bris and Torah and Eretz Yisrael and Malchus. What does that have to do with the sandwich? And the answer is, I want to thank God for eating. Okay, what did I gain by eating? Except weight. Okay, even the weight. I got a few more calories, a little bit more energy. So for what? If there's no tachlis to that energy, if there's no tachlis to the fact that I now extended my life a little bit, then the eating has no tachlis either. When you dig sandcastles at the beach, right, the digging is worthless. But if you're digging diamonds, the digging becomes very important. If what you're doing has a tremendous tachlis, then the thing you're doing is important. But if it has no tachlis, it's not important. So eating extends my life, gives me energy. For what? If there's no purpose, then what do I have to thank God for eating? How important could eating be? But if eating enables me to be part of the Am HaNivchar, and I have Eretz Yisrael and Torah and Mila and Beis HaMikdash and Malchus Beis David, this is all what it's all about. And eating gives me a little bit more to be part of all of that. Wow, then eating is pretty important. Then I have to thank the Rebbe Shlomo for eating. Now eating becomes important. So the whole Inyan of Birkas HaMazon is to recognize the tachlis of what it means to be in this world. And to be motivated, that's Birkas HaMazon. Fits perfectly with that third Lashon of Geula, right, of the Go'alti Eschem Bizroa Netuyim. And what's the last cause? Hallel. Hallel is a Shevach to the Rabbanu Shalom, that whenever we had times when Goyim would come or other situations that would prevent us from fulfilling our tachlis, the Chol Perek Uperek, whenever we had Tzoras, and we were narrowed and we couldn't fulfill our tachlis, we thank the Rabbanu Shalom for taking away those outside impediments and giving us the ability to fulfill our tachlis. That's how. That's the Go'alti Eschem B'Shvatim Gedolim. That's what the Seder is all about. If you understand the Gnus, you understand the necessity for the Avdus, the Geirus, the Avdus, and the Inu, then you can appreciate how the Rabbanu Shalom accomplished now by taking it away and giving it back to us, that we now were able to be the Am that was capable of receiving the Torah and going on to be the Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, the Klal Yisrael can be. We understand that. That's part of what we celebrate on Pesach, and we understand that. Then Taka, Pesach will be Mechazik, each and every one of us, to be a soldier in that Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, and live our lives accordingly, to bring through our identities and our resources and our goals Kiddushim Shamayim, and to bring the whole world Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, the Vias Kol Tzedek and Hater.